Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, the great hero of faith chapter. We've been in this about 5 or 6 weeks. I don't know the exact amount of weeks, but we have. I've enjoyed the study. I hope you have. It's been a blessing to me. And kind of goes back and looks at some of those Old Testament stories from a different light. Of course, the reason why Hebrews 11 is here is because the Hebrews, which was Jews, Hebrew Christians, some of them were backing back under the old covenant. They were turning their back on the new covenant and going back under the old, beginning to think it wasn't sufficient. So what the book of Hebrews does is shows the superiority of the new covenant over the old covenant. And that's what it stresses. So Hebrews 11, what it does is it goes back and grabs those old heroes of the faith in the Old Testament and shows that they were saved by faith. They were saved the same way as we are. They weren't saved a different way in the Old Testament. I've heard people say they were saved by the law. They can't no more be saved by the law than you can. I mean, you break one command, you're guilty and cursed. You need a Savior. They were saved by faith based on the coming sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifice system pictured what Jesus would do. And the difference with us is we look back. So we're all saved by faith. Abraham was saved that way. Noah was saved that way. And on and on and on. So tonight our focus is going to be just verse 22. If I get done in 20 minutes, it'd be a miracle. But if I get done in 20 minutes, we'll stop at verse 22. So we're just going to deal with this one verse. So let's stand and show respect to the reading. If you can, now if it's hard for you to stand, don't stand. Just sit. But if it's easy for you to stand, you stand up. By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these, actually three, that we presented tonight to the church. And Lord, we're thankful. We're happy. And Lord, you're blessing and you're adding and you're keeping this old church afloat. And we're thankful for it, Lord. We can't do anything of ourselves. Lord, we pray your blessings upon tonight's service and for the youth that are next door, that they would be made to worship you tonight and we would worship you in spirit and in truth in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to title this CD, man. We're going to title this Joseph's Faith and Bones. Joseph's Faith and Bones. That's what we'll title it as. We're going to look at 3 points. We're going to have actually 3 statements in verse 22 we're going to look at. But we're going to have 3 points with those. We're going to look at Joseph's faith. And that will go with the statement, by faith Joseph when he died. Okay, that will go with that statement. The second point is going to be Joseph's prophecy, and that will go with the statement made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. So Joseph prophesied that Israel one day would depart from the land of Egypt. So we'll look at Joseph's prophecy, and then number 3, we'll look at Joseph's command. And the command is given in the last part, the statement that goes with it. He gave commandment concerning his bones. He gave commandment concerning his bones. So that's the reason why we entitled the message tonight, Joseph's Faith and Bones. Okay, let's get into it. Are you ready? Just 3 points. Joseph's faith, Joseph's prophecy, Joseph's command. Number 1, let's look at verse 22 again. By faith, Joseph, when he died. Now, the idea of when he died is, it carries the idea that he was dying. It says when he died, he made mention of his bones. Of course, if you're dead, you're not going to be talking about your bones, are you? So the idea of the word died here is when he was dying, he made mention of his bones. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that he made mention of his bones. He did this by faith. He did this by faith. And I think it's interesting, when you're talking about a man of faith, Joseph is your man. I mean, he lived a whole life of faith. I mean, you really don't see any chinks at all, so to speak, in his armor when you look at the life of Joseph. And he had he displayed faith throughout his life. If you go all the way back when he lived in his father's house, the Lord gave him certain visions that indicated to him that one day, one vision was that they were out working in the fields. You know how they bind sheaves, like of barley or of wheat. And what happened, his sheaf stood up, and then he had his brother's sheaf bowed down before him, which was an indicator that one day, it was a prophecy that one day the brothers would bow before him. Now, guess what that did to his brothers? That made them hate him just that much worse. Hated him just that much worse. They already hated him because Dad liked him best. He did. Jacob made him a coat of many collars because he was his favorite son. He also had a dream where the sun and the moon and the stars, 10 stars, I believe it was, or I can't remember the number of stars. There's 12 tribes of Israel eventually. But it was a picture that one day his brothers again, not only his brothers, but his parents one day would bow before him. So these dreams didn't really go over good with his brothers. So his brothers hated him. And what they did is they began to persecute him. And one thing that happened one day when he was visiting them, they said, "Well, here comes the dreamer." So you can see the jealousy and the anger that they had. So anyhow, to be honest with you, that worked out for the good. And his brothers put him in a pit. They intended to kill him. That's how bad they hated him. Envy will lead to hatred. They envied him, so they planned on killing him. They put him down in a pit, and then they determined, and they actually ate their lunch while he was like calling out. Can you imagine how cold-hearted you'd have to be to throw your brother in a pit and then leave him there and sit down and eat your lunch while he's in there? Then what did they do? Well, they sold him. They decided to make money off of him, so they sell him into slavery. And, you know, he could have got bitter there. Y'all agree? He could have got really bitter there. I mean, that was a bad event. He could have let, can't you, I mean, I would have got mad over it. I'd have hated him, Larry. I mean, this is my home, and I love my parents and things, and then these does this to me. I'd have held a grudge against him. He could have got bitter. He could have got angry, but there's no record in Scripture that he ever did. He was a great man of faith. He really did. Once he got down to Egypt, and then he took up with a man, bought him, and he made him the chief steward over his house, Potiphar. And Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything. But then his wife, I figure Joseph, fine-looking young man. And then his wife casted her eyes upon him, wanted to commit adultery with him, and pressed him every day for that. You know what he did? He said, "Absolutely not." And here's what he said: "Can I do this thing and sin against my God?" That's how much he loved his God. He loved his God too much to commit adultery with that woman. That's how much he loved him. Well, she lied on him, said that he tried to rape her, and then he gets thrown in prison. Now, you know what? He could have got bitter at that, couldn't he? I mean, look at all, I mean, I know people that bad things happen to them and they're getting mad at God and they get mad at their families and they get mad at everybody. You can't even talk to them. They're so bitter and their venom, like when they talk to you, it's like venom comes out of their mouth because they're mad over all these different events that's happened in their life that they consider to be unfair. Joseph never did that. He never did. There's no indicator anywhere where he complains or is bitter or is mad at God or blames God. He was strong in what? Somebody tell me. Faith. He never lost confidence in his God. He just figured there was a purpose for everything that God permitted. Got thrown in jail. We didn't talk about that a little bit. He got thrown in prison And then he, everywhere he was at, the Lord blessed him. The prison guard put him over the prisoners. Because he's seen that everything he touched, God blessed. He really did. So he put him in charge of the prisoners. And then he interpreted dreams for the king's butler and the king's baker. And, of course, both the dreams come to pass. The king's baker probably tried to poison Pharaoh. And they lifted up him. They killed him. They put him to death. But the king's butler was brought up out of prison, just like Joseph said. And Joseph said, when you get to back in your position, when you get back where you're at, here's what Joseph said. Don't forget me. Did he forget him? Oh, yeah, he forgot him for several years there. He forgot all about him. And then one day Pharaoh has a dream and no one can interpret. And guess who finally remembers? The butler remembers. And he brings him up and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And the rest is what? History. He was a man of faith from start all the way to finish. I mean, you could have pointed all of that. And even when his brothers came down after he was second in command of Pharaoh, even when his brothers come down, he forgave them. And he never got bitter against them. I've told you before, I'm not like him. I'd have put him in jail over that. At least had him flogged a time or two after the way they treated me. I'd be, ha ha, look who I am now. He didn't do none of that. You know what he did? He put under God's sovereignty. And he said, God has sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. He figured that everything that happened, even the bad in his life, worked together for the good, and it did. The blessing we have is we got it all written down here. He didn't know all these things at the time, but he never got bitter. He never lost faith. He never lost confidence. And he stayed true to his God. Clarence, he stayed true to his God the whole time. He never turned from him. After all, he was a great man there. He could have adopted the gods of the Egyptians, but he never did. And even when Israel would eventually come down there, he kept them separate. He said they're shepherds. Remember, the Egyptians hated shepherds. And they put them in the land of Goshen, and they was able to grow up and not intermix with the Egyptians and maintain their nationality until the day that God was ready to bring them up. He was faithful from start to finish. He was. All God's people should be faithful from start to finish. I've said it many times. I've mentioned this at a Bible conference I did here recently. God doesn't call you to produce results. God calls you to be faithful. You go in Revelations 2 and 3, those churches get an evaluation from Jesus. I can't tell you how big their building was. I can't tell you how many people they had. And I can't tell you how much money they took up in their church. Doesn't record it nowhere in there. But what is recorded is faithfulness. God will take care of all the other things. But he calls you to be faithful. He was. The writer of Hebrews, I think it was Paul. But the writer of the book of Hebrews, instead of using these other examples, or I shouldn't just not say the writer, the Holy Spirit chose as an example Joseph's dying faith. I mean, he could have picked out his living faith while he was living, you know, and showed all those examples that I mentioned just now. But instead, he chose to mention his dying faith. It says, by faith, when he was dying, he made mention of his bones. When he was what? When he was dying. I want you to know something. Let me tell you this tonight. True faith will always evidence itself when one is dying. When someone's on their deathbed, when someone's dying that knows the Lord, true faith will always evidence itself. That's why he picked his death, his latter stages of his life, his death. He was dying. He was an old man. He's 110 years old. And he says, boys, one of these days, the Lord is going to bring us out of here. When you go out of here, you take my bones with you. Made that statement by faith, he did. True faith will always evidence itself when someone is dying. I want to live as a Christian. I want to hear me. I want to live as a Christian, Jack, but I also want to die as a Christian. Christians die different than lost people. I don't mean that they don't suffer. I've seen God's people suffer death. But they have a confidence and an assurance that the lost man don't have. God's people know where they're going. God's people have a peace that the normal folk don't have. God gives living grace, but He also gives dying grace. So He chooses Joseph's death time as an illustration of Joseph's faith. Man, I just thought about different people that I've been with when they were dying over the years. And just mention just a couple, and I'm going to move off of it. One that always stuck out to my mind was Dewey Ball. A lot of you don't know him, but a lot of you do. And Dewey had lived a hard life, lived out a rough life. And I remember he called me. He was going to get married, and he knew no preachers. He called me to do his wedding. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I said, I'll do it for you. And he said, well, what do you charge? I said, I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to charge you. I said, you have to, Christmas Sunday morning, you have to come to church. All right. So he said, that's what you're doing. All right, I'll do it, he said. And I done his wedding for him. I wanted to witness to him. Lord, give me a burden for him. Better pray God give you a burden for lost people. One seemed saved. Oh, everybody loved him. He had some habits that was rough and had a rough life. But I remember, you must have been nervous about it. About 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, he called. My phone rang. I thought, well, you preacher's phone rings at 5 o'clock in the morning. It scares you to death. So I went running in there and I grabbed it and he said, hey, preacher, I'm coming down to pay up. What time she starts? That's what he said. And he came on down to the services and, well, over the process of time, the Lord saved him. And he had cancer horribly. It affected it. It was in his mouth. I've never seen anybody look like he did when I went to see him. But here's what I caught. And I told you all that to tell you this. Folks, he wasn't afraid. His eyes was clear. He wasn't crying and carrying on, nothing. He couldn't even talk because of the cancer that he had. I looked in, I said, Dewey, you ready to go? You ready? I mean, or he just went. So he did. I said, well. And we sat down there and we prepared his service. He'd write down different things and I prepared his service. But what struck me is the absence of fear. That struck me. That's dying faith. He knew where he's going. He's comfortable with it. He knew he was ready to go out of here. He knew he'd be immediately healed the moment he died. Y'all believe that? Immediately healed the moment he was ready to go. He was. I just thought that was great. That's dying faith. Judy, your mommy, I hate to tell this. I'm going to tell it anyway. I've told it before. But your mommy had dying faith, too. She, I haven't seen her. Remember she needed teeth? And I went and talked. She said, Jeff, I need to get me some teeth. But if I'm going to be around a couple weeks or so, I don't see any sense buying them. Do you? I'm just going to be using them a couple weeks. I don't see any sense buying them. She just laughed. You know what got me for that? She just did have a couple weeks. Know what? There wasn't no fear there. She was strong. She knew where she was going. She knew she was ready to go. See what I'm saying? That's dying faith. That's one of the strongest things that I go on and on telling you about different folks that I've seen it in. But Joseph had it. And when he was an old man, he's talking about his bones. God had given him a dying faith. I think the Lord gives you grace for living. I think He also gives you grace for dying. All God's people say it. He sure does. All right, let's move on. We've looked at Joseph's faith, and then we talked about dying faith, and now y'all know what that is. I've seen it. You've probably seen it. It's a strong thing. God gives it to His people. When it's time to go. Number two, let's look at his prophecy. Let's talk about Joseph's prophecy. It says he made mention of the departing. Now, the word departing, if you want to underline that, means exit. If you look it up in the Greek, it's Exodus. If you read in the Old Testament, Genesis, then you see Exodus. That means departure. They came down into Egypt in the latter stages of Genesis. They brought 75 down with them at the latter stages of Genesis. Then they come out. Exodus means departure. They're coming out in the book of Exodus. So you see an exit sign, Exodus. It carries the same kind of idea. So by faith, when Joseph died, he made mention of the departing, the Exodus of the children of Israel. Now let's go back and look at this in Genesis now. Genesis chapter 50. We'll look at several. I like looking at these old texts and kind of gives you a base. Now in Genesis 50 is what Hebrews 11 is speaking of. Hebrews 11:22 is speaking of. That's what it says in the book of Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, what did he say? I die. I'm dying. That's what we just talked about, wasn't it? He said, I'm dying. And he said, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath. He put him on an oath. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. He said, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So don't you leave my bones in Egypt. You carry my bones to the promised land, is what he's wanting to do. Carry them up. Verse 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old. And what did they do to him? Remember who was experts at this. The Egyptians were experts at embalming people. They still find mummies today, do they not? They were experts at that. So guess what happened to Joseph? They embalmed him. And they put him in a coffin in Egypt. That's what they did. So that is what Hebrews chapter 11 is referring to. Now let's turn over to Genesis 15. I'll show you something you might not have knew. This was told earlier, 100 or so years earlier. This same thing was told to Abraham. Look at Genesis 15. I mean, how did Joseph know that they would be 400 years in a strange land? How did he know that? Well, Abraham knew it. And I'm sure that Isaac knew it. I think they passed it. Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15:13. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. That's Egypt, isn't it? Everybody see it? This is all the way back to Abraham. They knew that. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict him how long? 400 years. So this was all foretold. Abraham knew it. Isaac knew it. Jacob knew it. Now who knew it in Genesis 50? Joseph knew it. Okay. Verse 14, and that nation whom they serve, I'll judge it. Did God judge Egypt? Oh, he sure did. You go back to the book of Exodus and you look at the plagues he brought upon the Egyptians. It was frightening plagues. He turned the Nile River to blood. Think about it. Land stink because of all the fish. I mean, it was unbelievable the different judgments he brought. Tell you something you might not have knew. Every one of those plagues was a slap against one of the Egyptians' gods. For instance, they worshipped the Nile River. So what did God do? He turned the river to blood. They'd run to their gods and pray for it to be cleared up, but nothing would happen until the God of Israel cleared it up. Okay, he turned it dark, if I remember, for 3 days. They served a sun god. So God turned it dark. The Bible says in the dark you could feel it. I mean, you couldn't even get up and move. But that was just where Egypt was at. In the land, of course, there's a part of Egypt, the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived. It was light there. Could you see them praying to their sun god to bring down light? Couldn't do anything. He slapped against their gods. Every plague was something against the God of Egypt. They had worshipped an insect god. He brought lice into the land. I mean, so God, boy, you talk about a display of power. But he says he would bring them out. All this was prophesied to Abraham, and they would have passed it down from generation to generation. That's how Joseph knew. That's how Joseph knew. And think about it. Joseph was the one that brought them all to Egypt. See how God works these plans out. Do you see how he works these plans? He's in charge of things. When you know these things, you really see he knows what he's doing. Works all things out after the counsel of his own will. He said, that nation I'll judge after plagues, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Now, when children of Israel come up out of Egypt, did they come out with great substance? Yeah. It says they spoiled the Egyptians. It says that God calls the children of Israel to find favor with the Egyptians, and they just give them stuff. So when they come out, they came out with great possessions. And that's what that's referring to. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Verse 15, and in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. Now, I've got to be careful with verse 16. I want you to notice something. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. See, when the children of Israel was going to come into the land of Canaan, God was also using them as an instrument of judgment on the Canaanites. He also was doing that. And he mentions the Amorites here. He says that their cup wasn't full yet. Now that should frighten you for a little bit. I wonder how full our nation's cup is. He said the cup of the Amorites is not full yet. You're not going to mess with them yet, but there'll come a day when that cup is full. That cup of wrath is full. And I'm going to bring you in, and God would use the Israelites to judge the Canaanite nations. And they walked right through nations that were greater than mightier, admittedly, than themselves. But God gave them victory. The cup wasn't what? The cup wasn't full yet. I don't know how full our cup is. I think it's pretty full. I got to be real careful. Man, this homosexual issue scares me to death. I'm getting sick of it. I've quit getting the paper. I get sick of seeing it on the front page. It's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing. According to Romans 1, one of the evidences that God has given a nation up is that sin becomes prevalent. Just read it there in Romans 1. I don't want to go there because that's when you know what's going to happen. I'll break out into a big long preach on it. But you go to Romans 1. One of the signs that a nation's been delivered over is the homosexuals become prevalent. What do you think, Hoss? It frightens me. When you know the scriptures about these things, it's a frightening thing. And it is prevalent. I preached on it a few years back, 7 years ago. It was entitled How Homosexuality Became Prevalent in America. Been listened to over 7,000 times on sermon audio. And some of the things I said on there, we've seen. I said there'll be a time when they view it as a race. Do they view it as a race? Yeah, they don't view it as a sin. You can't call it a sin. If you call it a sin, they call you a what today? Call you a racist. It's not a race, it's a sin. It's in a list of sins. It's a shame, folks, and it's going to get worse. And I dare say that I don't know how this thing's going to pan out in the long run. Preachers like me, I don't know what's going to end up happening to them. I mean, really, you preach against sin in the public forum, then you'll be a racist, then you'll be they'll arrest you for hate crimes, or they'll sue you. That's things they already do. They'll sue you. It's called financial terrorism. They'll break you financially anyhow. Frightening thing. Believe that cup's all the way to the rim. You pray for your nation. Pray the Lord would bring revival. I pray for that every day, for revival for America. Do you? Every day mention, Lord, bring us a revival. He can stay this thing if God's people will pray. That's the key, is God's people. It's not going to be a politician. It's God's people is the key. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and repent of their wicked ways, And I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. So I think that's the key. All right, let's move on. Boy, I feel like really, really getting down and preaching. And let's go ahead and go back to Hebrews 11. We look at Joseph's dying faith. Then we looked at Joseph's prophecy. And we showed basically that prophecy, Abraham knew it. God done told him, and they passed the thing is what they've done. Now, what does he do? Joseph gives command. And that's the last statement here in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now, watch this now. Here's Joseph's command. He gave command concerning his bones. He said, don't leave my bones in this land. Don't leave my body here. I imagine after 400 years, it's probably just nothing but bones. Of course, remember, they embalmed him. So he probably had a good part of him left, but it was in a what? It was in a coffin. He had a royal burial. God seen to it that thing was preserved by the best embalmers they were. So that 400 years later, when they come out, they carried him out. They carried him out. I got some things to say about that. What difference did it make? People have a prevalence sometimes where they want to be buried or whatever. And I probably will too. You know, when I die, I'm going to go be with the Lord anyhow. But what difference does it make whether they took his bones out of Egypt or they took him out of the promised land? Either way, when the resurrection happens, there's going to be a body come up, aren't they? I think one reason why they did is that I think that served as an encouragement to the children of Israel when they're in bondage. I think that'd be encouraging. I mean, he was a great prince. When they was put in bondage and they had all these generations of Jews there, they would have knew all about Joseph. Joseph would have been like a hero to them. He was a prince in Egypt. And you know what this old prince said? He said, one of these days, we're coming out of here. And we're going to go to the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said that we are to carry this casket out of here. Wouldn't that be encouragement if you was one of them? You'd look at that and you say, this was a great man. And you go to your children and say, let me tell you what this man said. One of these days, we're going out of here. And we're going to take him with us. See, that would be encouragement to them in their bondage. Don't y'all think? I think it would have been an encouragement to them. Number two. I think it would serve as an illustration of God's faithfulness also. Just like God had promised that one of these days, back when we looked at text in Genesis, one of these days you're going to come up out of Egypt. 400 years ago that promise was made. 400 years ago. And under Moses, remember what Exodus means? Coming out. They're coming out. God chose a man to bring them out, and it was Moses and his brother Aaron. But you know one of the things they did before when they come out? Guess who they brought along with him? They brought along Joseph's bones. Don't you think that was a tremendous... just think about what a testimony to God's faithfulness. This man has been buried here 400 years. Just like God said, we're bringing him out. So it would have been not only encouragement to them while they were in Egypt, but when they were leaving. What a testimony to God keeping His Word. God said we're going to come out, we're coming out. Just like this man mentioned before he what? Before he died. What difference does it make where his bones was buried? You know where your bones is at or where your buried is at. I don't ever call it a grave site. Very rarely do I do that. It's resurrection ground. Me and Brother Billy sometimes will go down and visit Sister Sue's. And when we say Billy, we'll go out and eat. Of course, I'll have to pay. And we'll go out and eat. And I said, once we get done, I said, well, We ought to run down and visit Sister Sue's resurrection ground. What do we call it? Because it is. Because it is resurrection ground. That's where one of these days a new body is going to come out of there one of these days. They're with the Lord. The resurrection, that's holy ground, I think, don't y'all? That's where you're going to come out. So he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. I want you to take me. It would be a testimony, encouragement while he was there. It would also be an evidence of God's faithfulness to his word when they brought him out of there. And that's what they did. And that's all, and you know what? I don't know when it's going to be. But you know, Joseph's bones are still over there somewhere. They might be nothing but dust now. But they put them out in the town of Shechem. When Jesus comes again, his body's going to come. There will be a body that comes up out of there. It will be a new one. One will never get sick. One will never age. One will never die. We'll be like Jesus, without sin, be perfect. And we'll rule and reign with Christ forever. So next time if you go buy you a funeral plot, you say, give me a good piece of resurrection ground. It's not a grave plot, it's resurrection ground. And when you're saved, that's where you're going to come up. Let's watch the fulfillment of this. Let's go back and get this and we'll start to quit. Start to quit. Did y'all hear that? Start to quit. Back to the book of Exodus. Y'all been blessed tonight so far? I hope you have. This is a good text. It's hard to mess this up. Now you go to the book of Exodus, and of course it means coming out. And Moses, of course, was the main man in charge when they came up out of Egypt. Why don't you watch what Moses does in verses Exodus 13, verse 18 and 19. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now watch this in verse 19. Look what it says. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Everybody see it? And Moses took the bones of Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Oh, my. God prophesied it all the way back in Genesis 15 to Abraham, Chris. And look how God fulfills everything he says he's going to do. I mean, think about it. All the way back to Abraham when he said it. And he told everything that was going to happen. They'd be in a land that wasn't their own for 400 years. And then God was going to bring them out with a strong hand. Shows you how control is. God is over everything. Now, let's look at the fulfillment of it. Let's look at the book of Joshua. Of course, Joshua's the book of conquest. Joshua's the one that crossed the Jordan River and went over into the promised land. And he led the armies of Israel against a host of different armies that were greater and mightier than themselves. There, if you did the stats on the armies, they didn't even compare in power to them. But they walked right through them because they had God with them. The greatest, the greatest protection for a land is God. Joshua 24. Verse 29, it came to pass after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. And he was 110 years old, just like old Joseph. Joshua died when he was 110. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaius. Watch this now. And the Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Verse 32, and the bones of Joshua were back to them bones of Joseph. Now they're creeping up here in the book of Joshua. Moses brought them out. Of course, Moses died, didn't he? Before they had ever went into the promised land and began to conquer, which is what they did in the book of Joshua, under Joshua. It says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." Isn't that amazing? By faith, Joseph made mention, gave commandment concerning his bones. Because he knew at one time in the future, Israel was going to leave that bondage. And they were going to go to the land that God had promised them. I'll close with this. One of these days, folks, we're going to leave here. And we're going to leave the bondage and the confines of this old flesh body. I mean, we like our bodies. The Lord gave them to us. And we pamper them and feed them and everything else. And we should take care of them and things. But hear me. Jack, these bodies are dying. Sometimes we'll talk about somebody you know and go, "Yeah, they're dying." Let me give you a newsflash. You're dying too. Every day is just closer to it. You just don't know when it is. You just don't know when it is. This old body has sin in it. I'm saved. I'm born again. But I still have sin. I still do things that I don't like. I still think in ways that I don't like. I still don't do things at times that I should do. But one of these days, I'm going to leave this old body. Leave her behind. And I'm going to go be with the Lord. I'll never sin again. I'll never be sick again. I'll be with Him. That state is said to be far better than being here. Isn't that great? When someone doesn't know the Lord, they don't have that. They don't got a promised land that one of these days they're going to go to. All they can expect is judgment. I'm thankful that we have a place we're going. We have the promise of the promised land, don't we? It's just a matter of time before we're there. Think about it. Just a matter of time before we're there. Getting close. Each day brings me. I used to hate aging, but I view aging as different. Each tick of the clock brings me closer home. It really does. To be with my Savior, to be in paradise. Each tick of the clock brings me closer home. All God's people say it. All right, let's all stand. Thank you.